Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Welcome to Terrence Talks Travel Uber Adventures. I'm your host, Terrence Zepke, and we're here to talk travel, specifically adventure travel. I'm real excited. I know I say this every time because I always love talking about travel, especially adventure travel, but this is the Uber adventure destination. This week we're talking about Antarctica. Now, some of you probably know that it is a seventh continent, and it's rarely traveled to by most people, and that's because it is the coldest, driest, and windiest continent. And but it is also at the top of many travelers' bucket list, and well, it should be. There are adventures you can have in Antarctica that you can't have anywhere else in the world, and you'll be amazed at some of the adventures that you can have that you haven't even thought of. So let's start with my top 10 travel tips for the White Continent, and you'll see what I mean. Number one, go swimming in Antarctica. Yes, you can. Well, sort of. And surprisingly, it's not a polar plunge. Deception Bay is a volcano caldera, so the water is heated. So how exciting is it that you'll be floating around in an Antarctic volcano caldera? So I've done this, and it is exciting. It is great, and you're sitting there saying to yourself, I can't believe I'm sitting here swimming. You know, I'm floating in the water here in Antarctica here. So, I mean, it's just amazing experience, and there's, of course, all this wildlife around you and all that. So don't forget to pack your bathing suit. And by the way, you probably didn't know this, but you can also go scuba diving in Antarctica. Isn't that incredible? It's a different kind of thing, of course, because – you are scuba diving there among, you know, the icebergs in a polar region. And, you know, so I think you kind of need to know what you're doing. I've only scuba dived in warm waters, so I was a little nervous about doing this. So, you know, I didn't do it. But I think if you have more experience in scuba diving, if you're a more experienced diver, it would be a spectacular thing to do. So, now, during the show, I have to share some of my little trivia with you because you all know, if you know me, that I'm a trivia buff. So, number one, first on my list here of FYIs here, did you know nobody owns Antarctica? Even though it's a continent, it's the seventh continent, no one actually owns it. Although a few nations, including Australia, Argentina, and the United Kingdom, have tried to lay claims to it over the years, it remains free of government and ownership. Okay, number two on my list, because we got to keep it moving. I keep my podcast short just for your convenience. So number two is go kayaking in the South Pole. And this is really a neat thing. I mean, this is the perfect way to navigate around and get close up to giant icebergs and spectacular wildlife. But you need to be sure to check with the tour operator that you're using before booking, because not all the companies offer this great option. So if that's something you want to do, you need to be sure to book a tour operator that does include that in their itinerary. Okay, another fast fact for you here. Antarctica is the only continent without a time zone. Isn't that wild? Scientists stationed in Antarctica either go by the time zone of their whole of their home country, or they go by the time zone of the supply ship. So there you go. Number three on my list, explore Lemaire Channel. Lemaire is an iceberg-filled passage surrounded by ice cliffs. It's just incredible thing there. It's just, I think one of the things that makes it so incredible is due to the calm waters, and believe me, in Antarctica, this is the only place you'll find really, really, really calm waters. The reflection of these calm waters creates picture-perfect photos. Even for amateur photographers, even for someone who usually cuts someone's head off when they're taking a picture or whatever, you can't mess up here. It's so scenic. And often this is a spot where you'll see a lot of whales. And you'll also see some other ships usually passing through here because this is a highlight of any Antarctica itinerary. So that's a great thing. Okay, another fact for you here, another fun fact. There are no permanent residents and no native population in Antarctica. There are only scientists who mostly study ice cores, which reveal all kinds of important climate information. So that's why they're there. Okay, number four on my list, count the wildlife. It's really amazing to me how the world works. Most of the wildlife here cannot survive anywhere else in the world, but they thrive in this bitterly cold, harsh climate. And amazingly, there is an abundant amount of wildlife. You've got lots of species of penguins, lots of species of sea lions and seals. You've got lots of species of whales and tons of birds. So there is a lot of wildlife here. And like I said, you can't find it anywhere else in the world. It will perish if it was put anywhere else in the world. But it's amazing all the different things you'll see here. So another fast fact for you here. The emperor penguin is believed to be the only species of bird that never sets foot on land. They breed on ice, which is why they are the tallest and heaviest of the penguin species, because they've got to be able to endure these conditions. So, oh, and they're beautiful, too. Oh, the emperor penguin. It's just, okay. All right, number five on my list, go camping. Yes, you heard me correctly. You can spend the night on the Antarctic Peninsula. It's amazing. You're tucked into these insulated sleeping bags that are like, you know, for like 50 below zero will keep you warm. It's not 50 below zero when you're there, don't worry, but it's just you have these highly insulated, specialized sleeping bags, and they put you in these little dugout pockets in the ice, and I think they call them bivacs or something. They've created these little things that will keep you all snug and comfy during the night. And so you are literally sleeping out under the stars on a continent that is called the White Continent, where probably only 1 or 2% of the population of the world has ever traveled to and seen. And here you are not only visiting this place, but you are camping out. It's amazing. But you have to be sure, once again, that your tour operator offers this option before you book your trip if this is something you'd like to do. Number six on my list here, get your camera ready. Blood Falls, yes, that's what I said. Blood Falls is a five-story blood red waterfall that pours out of Taylor Glacier and the McMurdo Dry Valleys of Antarctica. It's a remarkable sight, to be sure. I mean, you know, this blood red waterfall. And there's a whole big story of why they think it's red and what the history is on, but you'll have to look that up because we just don't have time to get into all that today. But that it's the only blood red waterfall I know of in the world, and it's pretty amazing to see. Also, you want to be sure to take a photo at the ceremonial South Pole. This is where flags, all the countries that have research stations there, and there are a lot of them, they all have brought their flags and plopped them down here in this spot. So it's a very, you know, great photo op for you there. Something you got to do if you go that far, right? Okay, another fast fact for you here. Antarctica is the coldest place on Earth, and I'm sure you already knew that or figured that out, but it is colder than the Arctic Circle. But let me tell you something here. What do you think the average temperature is? The average temperature is minus 58 degrees Fahrenheit. Wow. That's cold, people. The coldest, speaking of cold, the coldest recorded temperature is minus 129 degrees Fahrenheit in 1983. Now, can you even fathom minus 129 degrees? I can't even wrap my mind around that. Okay, number seven on the list. We're zipping along here. You can have a drink at the world's southernmost bar. Got to do it. The Vernadsky, I'm probably not saying that right, Vernadsky Station Lounge is located in the Vernadsky Research Base. And, yes, that's the Russian research base. And you can leave it to the Russians to erect a spectacular bar at the end of the world. It's all I think the British had it at one time, and then they sold the base to the Russians. And the Russians did a whole remake of it and got rid of the whole British pub thing and made it, you know, just all Russia. So I think you'll feel like you're in the motherland in this bar. It even comes with its own on-site vodka distillery. So, I mean, I guess it has to, right? I mean, you have to be able to have everything you need right there. So that's just something you've got to check off your list there. Even if you don't drink alcohol, go have you a soda or a coffee or something there, but you got to do it, right? So number eight on my list, when is the best time to go? And that's a good question here. You can only visit Antarctica in the summer, and that is December to February. So that's the only time tour operators are going to take you there. So that's the time you have to go. Number nine on my list, how should you go? Well, that's a very good question because there are three options that you can do: a flyover, you can do a land expedition, or you can do a cruise tour, or what they call a fly cruise. The best way is on a cruise tour because it's how you're going to see the most islands and all kinds of wildlife and icebergs and islands and everything up close. You know, so just to get some idea of how this works, once you get there, you'll usually leave from Ushuaia or Punta Arenas, or even you might leave from New Zealand. But however you get there on your ship, you will, once you get to Antarctica Peninsula, you will board Zodiacs during the day, typically twice a day, and you zoom around exploring. So you'll get out at some of the islands, and I saw that, and you'll go on them and you'll explore the actual islands. And you'll also have a chance, this is an opportunity to do some of the things I've recommended earlier in this broadcast here during these outings, or during other designated times, you'll have a chance to do the thing where you go swimming or scuba diving or camping, whatever. You'll also visit a few research stations, which is a great learning experience. It's amazing to see that the scientists share their studies and their findings. And beyond that even, it's just fascinating to see how these men and women live and work. You know, what got them here, you know, how they survive. I mean this is remote, and this is, it just takes a certain kind of person to, you know, to be able to come and live for long periods of time in, you know, this kind of situation. So they share a lot of things with you, and you can see a lot of places have to grow their own food because, you know, they have to be, you know, self-sufficient. So it's just a really fascinating experience here. But like I said, the cruise tour is definitely the most popular and best way to explore Antarctica. The fly cruise is sort of the same thing. It's where instead of crossing the Drake Passage or coming across like that, they might just fly over to the Falkland Islands, for instance, and they would land there, and then they would pick up the boat at that point. So it's sort of the same thing, though, except they've cut out part of the journey. Probably the roughest part of the journey. You know? So last on my list, number 10, how much does it cost? That's a good question, and it really, I don't have an answer for you because it depends on a lot of different variables, such as if you'll be exploring the Shetland and or Falkland Islands too. You know, some people choose to do that, and your trip is going to cost a good bit more if you add these things onto the Antarctica cruise. It also depends on the cost greatly on what kind of cabin and ship that you go on. And like I said, where you begin your journey, whether you're going to begin it over there in South America or whether you're going to begin it on one of the islands down here near Antarctica, there's just so many variables to it. But the cost can be as low as $4,000 for your cruise tour. Or even recently, I saw a National Geographic expedition cruise tour for $24,000. So you have extremes here from $4,000 to $24,000. So that's why I said it would be hard to tell you because it would depend on, you know, what you pick and all. But I will tell you this, the International Association of Antarctica Tour Operators is a good starting point for finding reputable tour operators, such as Adventure Smith Expeditions and Cork Expeditions. So those are all good things. So that's my top 10 list. And so I wish we could cover more because Antarctica, well, you know, honestly, I don't know if I could just sit here. I could probably sit here and talk to you all day about it. But till you're there and you're having all these experiences and seeing these things in person, it's hard to convey the actual sense of what it's like. But it's incredible. I highly recommend it for any adventure traveler. And if it's on your bucket list, you need to do it now sooner rather than later because the cost just keeps going up. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's something you want to do, too, before you have any kind of serious medical condition or you reach a certain age because medical facilities are limited, you know, and so you do want to be in good health and all. So it's a good thing to do, check off, like I said, sooner rather than later. But I have a lot more information. If you're interested, you can get hold of my book, The Corky Tourist Guide to Antarctica. Or you can do a Google search and try and find out some information on your own. But that's it for today's show. But I think I've given you a lot of good information and let you realize that there's a lot more adventure activities there than you might have even realized because a lot of people know you go and you're going to see penguins and you're going to see seals and, you know, you're going to see icebergs, but they don't realize that there's so much more there. And like I said, believe it or not, I've only touched the tip of the iceberg, pun intended, during this show because there is so much more that you can do when you're there and you can see while you're there, believe it or not. But anyway, this is a good starting place for you. So we're about out of time. So if you want to find more information about this show or any of my other travel podcasts, you can do so on TerrenceTalksTravel.com. And this is also where you'll find dozens of free travel reports that you can just download from Terrence Talks Travel Emporium. And if you sign up for the Terrence Talks Travel blog, you get all kinds of cheap travel tips, adventure travel resources, news about my latest giveaways, contests, book releases, and so forth. And subscribers get two bonuses. You get my free adventure travel book, plus a free 50-page cheap travel tips report, which is filled with my favorite cheap travel tips and strategies there. And again, that's at TerrenceTalksTravel.com. So that's about it for today. I'll be back soon with another episode of Terrence Talks Travel Uber Adventures, so stay tuned.
What gets you revved up? Maybe it's heading toward that next adventure, driving farther and exploring more. Or maybe it's just spending less time worrying and more time doing. Whatever it is, Citgo is here to help with top-tier tri-clean gasoline. With continuous use, it helps keep engine parts clean for a smooth ride and maximizes your mileage to get more life out of every tank. Now that's gas you can feel good about. Go rev up with tri-clean gasoline at your locally owned Citgo station today.
When you're on the go, where you stop matters. Actually, it can make all the difference. And when you stop at a Citgo station near you, you can make a difference too. Because with every tank you fill up, you help fuel your community through local initiatives like disaster relief, STEM education, the Special Olympics, and more. So the next time you're going on a gas run, go a little farther. Go fuel good at your locally owned Citgo station today. Visit fuelinggood.com to learn how Citgo benefits your community.